Hey Shane.
How's it going?
It's great. How are you today?
Oh, I'm wonderful. I'm wonderful.
Good to hear.
Spent the day hunting down a tile cutter.
Ooh, one of those fun little saw things? Those are handy.
Yeah, they're fun. They're fun. They're not fun at all. What am I talking about?
Cutting messy. Tiles,
they're so messy. Like there's a rug I use. It's like a shitty old carpet in my basement, but like it's definitely ruined now. Like it's covered in water. It's like, you know. So anyway, my day was kind of whatever, but I look forward to this, man. So
hell yeah,
here we are,
too.
The New Noise. Welcome everybody.
New Noise.
Welcome people listening on the podcast. Welcome people here on Twitch.
Oh yeah,
it's all good.
I'm ready. Let's go.
Let's go.
Let's get into it.
Let's go. Yeah,
I'm stoked.
Well, we got a lot to talk about. I'm cool with jumping in right away, because last week was pretty much the biggest week of the year so far, I'd say.
It was. 100%.
And, yeah, and like, quite honestly, like, I don't know. There's lots to talk about. I really want your take on some of these records.
Oh, yeah. Which one do you want to start with?
Well, I'd like to start with the one that I couldn't stop listening to.
Okay.
And that was the...
Can I take a guess?
I think I just spoiled it, but yes, you can.
I didn't hear you, so.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to say that it's the new Hail the Sun record.
I did listen to that one a lot, too.
Okay.
But
which one can't you stop spinning, though?
I can't stop spinning the new Cannibal Corpse album.
It's phenomenal.
It really is. It you know, so my fandom of Cannibal Corpse stretches back to high school and you know, some of those records like Tomb of the Mutilated and especially The Bleeding. I think The Bleeding was the record that really put them on the map. And then when Corpse Grinder joined the band and they put out Bloodthirst, I love that record. And
so
it was, in fact, it's one of my favorite extreme metal records ever. And this record reminded me a lot of that album.
I feel like it's a brand new, almost rebirth of the band with this record. Like, it's a lot better than their last couple of outings, I think. It's just so much fun. And I'm not going to say it's like the most innovative death metal record ever. But
No.
These guys kind of invented the genre, so I'm not expecting that from them. I'm expecting that classic sound. And these guys really brought a refined version of that I enjoyed all the way through.
Yeah.
And I mean,
yep.
It's got this feel to it that's just like, how do I want to describe it? We made this genre, so we're going to do whatever the hell we want within it.
The parts never seem out of place, though. It always seems like it's just like I love metal records that are like that. Like, it's like, okay, this part's cool. Like, what's next? And then they just give it to you.
Yeah.
And like, that first track, I forget the title of it, but the first track, it just grabs you, and it does not let you go for the next, whatever, 42 minutes or
40
whatever.
40 minutes or so, yeah.
It is,
it's just
like,
a brutal ride.
A phenomenal record. I think Cannibal Corpse has never made a bad record, but this could be their best record in 15 to 20 years.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely one of my favorites on some of the originals.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. It brought me back to what made me fall in love with metal in the first place, just that energy and that power.
Yep.
I think it's a really great record. I think that the addition of Eric Rutan into the band, you could tell that was a little bit more... like a little more cohesive, I guess, is the word.
Yeah, it felt a little bit less chaotic than the Cannibal Corpse records without him, and it felt like they really kind of took that energy and polished it. It's still definitely chaotic. Don't get me wrong; it's an extreme death metal record.
Yeah,
but it just felt so. Everything felt like it fit together, and it was just really well written, and I almost want to say orchestrated as a whole. Like, it feels like a really good, solid piece.
100%. But we can talk about the Hail of the Sun record.
Yeah, I mean, I mentioned it. Let's talk about it.
As you know, Donovan and I are close friends.
Oh, yeah.
He's even a member of the All Access Club.
Yeah, he is.
So, you know, he's a phenomenal dude, one of my favorite people, but an even more phenomenal musician. The thing that is actually interesting, though, is like, yes, the drum work and the vocal work that he does is great on this record. I was very impressed with the guitar work and the songwriting.
Stepped it up on this record.
Yeah.
I think this band has finally found kind of the groove that they want to, like, I think, I'm not going to say settle into, because they're such an innovative band. And each record, they do something a little bit different, and it brings a new flavor. But this is kind of, I think, peak Hail the Sun. They've really found the spot that I think is going to get them the recognition that they've deserved for so long and bring a lot of popularity to the band. It's just like the Cannibal Corpse record, it's insanely well written start to back, and it just feels like such a good cohesive effort.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I people are saying you're quiet. I think I just turned you up. We'll see if that's better. Yeah. No, man, I have to agree with you 100%. Mm-hmm. And there's two more I'd like to get to from last week that I listened to.
I've got way more than that.
I bet you do.
Here, what do you want to get to next?
Mike, will you crank up your volume a little bit on your end?
How about the computer side?
Is that better, people, for Mike? I don't want you guys to not hear him. I can turn down a little bit too, but I'm pretty quiet on my end. Anyway, we'll see what they say.
We'll see. I can keep turning up until they say I'm good. So let's see. How about now? If I'm good, say taco.
Yes. If he's good, taco. Okay, there we go. We fixed it. Watch. Now people are going to say that I'm too quiet. Anyway.
Okay, they're saying taco. We're good.
They're saying taco. We're good. So let's talk about the two that I listen to a lot. And let's start with Sleep Society from While She Sleeps. This is a great record, too.
Incredible. I think this is While She Sleeps best work. Aside from maybe Silent Speaks featuring Ali, I think that's the best song they're ever going to write. I don't think it's going to get better than that. Just because that song is easily one of my favorite metalcore songs ever. But as a whole, this record, I like this better than You Are We. I like this better than So What. I like this better than any of their past efforts. I feel like they've finally found a way to capture their spirit of the band and really bring it home on a recording and just make it awesome. Like, this record, it feels DIY, but it feels high-level production.
Yeah.
Everything is great about it. And, like, such a cool story behind this record, too, because I just found this out.
Okay.
They self-released everything, like all the vinyl shipments, CD shipments, and everything like that. Based on the rules, because of that, they can't chart in the UK because
they
don't have a distributor or something like that.
Oh, weird. That's crazy rule.
But they did so to maximize profits so that they could rehire their touring staff during the pandemic, rehire like all of their crew and everything like that, and make sure that they're still employed during like these crazy hard times for a lot of people in the music industry. And I think that that's just such an awesome story, and I don't know how to describe it, because besides, like, that's so While She Sleeps. And
yeah,
you just get that entire energy throughout this record of DIY awesomeness.
Yeah.
What did you think about it?
No, I 100% agree with you. They're like the most punk band ever, but then they do it in like, they're like punk, but they still care. You know what I mean? Like, it's that kind of punk, which I love. I love the band so much. I think they're great people too.
Mm-hmm.
I will say what really threw me for a loop in a good way was the Derek Whibley of Sum 41 feature.
It was so good.
Like,
it came out of nowhere.
I know, I was listening to the record and then I didn't notice. Like, I noticed kind of right as the track was beginning, and I was like, oh shit. And then, like, there he is. Like, it's the first vocal. The first vocal is him. Which it's, like, it's almost like a hip-hop
thing. It's a strange move for a feature too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I loved it though. It was great.
I feel like this
record's
it.
One of the most innovative metalcore records I've heard all year.
Yeah.
I can't say anything bad about it.
Even to call it a metalcore record doesn't justify it, because it's more than that, you know?
Yeah.
a lot here. No, this, I want to spend a little more time with this record because I think I only listened to it once all the way through. And then I listened to that Derek Wilbey song a few times. but yeah, honestly, like this could be in the contention at the end of the year.
Oh, I would not be surprised to see this album on people's top tens.
Really, it's good record.
Absolutely incredible.
And the number one record from last week, Holding Absence, a big record, a lot of hype.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts on it?
I cried. So there's that.
Yeah.
Just going to let it out there because, man, this record was, I knew it was going to be an intense emotional record, but some of the songs just absolutely came out gunning for me. Like, let me look up the name of the track because I got to remember it. Where is it at?
Oh, we'll wait, Mike.
God, I don't even remember.
Don't even worry about it. Well, here's the thing.
Curse Me With Your Kiss. Like, that's the third track on the album. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Boom. Just right in your feels, this record doesn't stop being emotional. Like,
no.
I love all the spoken word parts on it, too. I think it's just beautiful.
Yeah.
It's one of those, sometimes I like to compare metal to, like, classical music. Because I think that they're very similar. They're both very grandiose at times. And this is one of those records that if you transposed it to orchestra, it would fit very, very well.
I know. There is like an orchestral aspect to it.
Mm-hmm.
There used to be this band. You probably don't remember them, Mike. They're before your time. They're called Elliot. They were
before my time.
What's that? Yeah, before you. They're called Elliot. Yeah. They were on Revelation Records, I believe. They put out kind of two, like I remember them putting two records out and broke up. But they were really different in that emo punk world in that they had that same very emotional, sometimes orchestral, just very intense. Like you could just feel the pain in the vocals. And I get that from this record more so than I've really heard in the last few years. And this band is hard to classify as well because of that. But what really struck me about this record was like I was listening to it and I kind of got lost in it. Some of the songs are very long. Like there's a 7-minute song on here. There's almost all the songs are like approaching 5 minutes or over 5 minutes. But it never really bored me.
No, it definitely doesn't feel that way.
It's a long record, but I never felt bored about it. And this feels like a record that could really sort of be a game changer in terms of influence. Almost in a similar way when Brand New put out their second album, Déjà Entendu. And I know that the band is has been shunned and canceled, but you know,
Got to acknowledge history and things
And that record was such a game changer at the time, partly because it broke some rules and the songs were long and and this has a similar kind of vibe to it. I found where 100%. It was like, I don't know if I've heard anything quite like this, at least not in a long time.
It reminds me a lot of, I'm going to say like a lighter Noia, one of my albums from my album of the year list earlier last year. Just extremely brutally honest about the subject matter and the heartbreak that it's talking about.
Yeah.
And man, that record just took me for a spin. I was cleaning some records when I put it on and I found about two songs in, or no, it was the third song. I had to stop and just like sit down and enjoy it. Cause I was like, I'm not getting anything done. I'm getting distracted by how good this album is. I just need to acknowledge it and let it be.
Yeah. Well,
absolutely incredible record though.
There we go. No, and that's okay. Anything else to touch on real quick? We've spent like 15 minutes on on just last week, but it was a big week.
So I just want to talk about two EPs that I listened to last week. I want to talk about that Bellhaven EP as well. That was our number 4 from last week. And I don't know if you got a chance to check it out, but these guys are absolutely incredible. I love the EP the entire way through. I wouldn't be surprised if this band starts blowing up.
Cool.
It's a ton of fun, and it sucks that they had so many big releases to compete with as a new band.
Yeah.
Same thing that with the next band I'm going to talk about. But this EP was absolutely amazing. It was something that I found myself coming back to because it's a short EP, 15, 20 minutes. And I found myself coming back to it because it just fit space and time like EPs do. And it was absolutely awesome. Every song is a banger. And then the other EP, also from Australia, this is a band that I didn't mention because I found this band over the weekend.
Oh, okay.
Absolutely awesome band. They're called All Hours. They put out their EP called Perspectives. I want to say that this band is kind of like a good merge between Stan Atlantic and Settle Your Scores, and maybe a little A Day to Remember, old school, where it's kind of got that easy core vibe. It mostly focuses on the pop punk aspect, though. And it was just a lot of fun. It reminded me of a sound that I haven't heard in a long time.
Sweet.
And I'm here for it.
Wow.
It was great EP.
No, with everything I, you know, needed to get to this week, I'm shocked that I mean, that's why I missed Bellhaven, for example. But no, I'm shocked that you were able to get even more out of it, Mike.
Yeah.
But this man has a shower head that plays him music. Okay.
I do.
So he is all 24 hours a day listening to music, probably.
100%. I try.
Probably.
I am watching through Inked Master right now, too. So. Not all music.
Okay. All right. Well, we got another big week this week. Let's talk about some new music. The top five most anticipated albums of the week. Mike, let's start with number five.
All right. First one. So this is the only international band coming out this week. I know normally we try and have a couple more. But coming out of Leicester in the United Kingdom, we've got the new EP, Silence, by this band called Monasteries.
Yeah, I don't think I'm familiar with this band, so please enlighten me and the people.
So this is a deathcore band. Nice and heavy. Nice and fast. If I had to describe them to, or compare them to anything, it sounds a lot like Bound in Fear or Beyond Deviation. Just absolutely incredible. It's, I know that there's a lot of like really down-tempo, slow deathcore, and there's a lot of like blisteringly fast deathcore like Brand Sacrifice. This is nice and solid in the middle. They've got some hardcore influences in there. And overall, I think this EP is going to be a lot of fun for everybody that's kind of into the more extreme music. It's honestly awesome. I love all three singles that they've put out. It's just going to be cool.
Yeah, well, I'm just on their Spotify page here, and it looks like they've released, you know, a couple EPs and a bunch of singles. No full length as of yet, by the looks of it. So that's kind of interesting, you know, that they've been a band since seems like a little while and still no full length.
Yeah, and I mean, maybe that's just kind of the mood that they're going for. They planned on putting out a full length and then everything happened. It's like, right. Yeah, maybe an EP smarter. Who knows? I'm not super familiar with the band myself. I've just recently kind of gotten into their music with seeing the singles come out. But I've been thoroughly impressed enough to put them at number five this week.
Okay, there so it is.
I'm excited to listen to it.
There it is, UK deathcore Monasteries from the UK. All right, let's move on. How about number four?
Number four, and we're going to see a common theme this week, but this is another deathcore band. They're from Atlanta, Georgia. And this is a band called Left to Suffer and their new EP called On Death.
Yeah, no, I think I know Left to Suffer a little bit. Would you call them deathcore? I felt like they were more like a hardcore band. Maybe I'm mixing them up with something.
The singles I've heard are pretty deathcore.
Okay. Okay.
So, for example, they've got three features on this EP. They've got Tom Barber from Chelsea Grin.
Oh, yeah.
They've got Lockie from Alpha Wolf. And they've got Rhea from Crystal Lake.
Okay.
Pretty heavy vocalists.
Cool.
And the entire EP is pretty cool vibe. It's six songs. The first song is called The Event, and then each track kind of goes through the five stages of grief as far as the song title.
Oh, wow.
Which I think is a pretty cool aesthetic. It's probably been done before, something similar at least.
Well, I haven't heard of that specifically, but, you know.
Yeah, I mean, that's... I like the vibe a lot. These guys are just absolutely heavy. All the features are going to be incredible, and I think that this, if you're into deathcore, could be one of your top EPs of the year. These guys haven't missed on any of the singles, and I've been spinning them constantly on my playlist.
Yeah, 100%, man. Cool. Okay, another heavy band at number four. Moving on, number three.
Number three, we're changing up. This is the music for all of the light fans. but coming out of Athens, Georgia, we've got
REM. REM is back with a new record. No, REM, I wish. I wish. Go on, though.
Everybody
yes.
wishes.
Athens, the other band from Athens, Georgia. Here we go.
So this is a band called Chapel, and they're putting out their new EP called Room Service.
Yeah.
I absolutely love this band. Are you familiar with Chapel at
yeah,
all?
I am. I think they're great. This mm-hmm. is a band, like, I don't know how many monthly listeners on Spotify they have or, like, whatever they've done. Maybe they're a newer band.
This is
band.
Their second EP, and they've okay. been a band since 2017.
Yeah, because, but their stuff, like, their music sounds like it should be huge. Like, it sounds like it's like indie rock, radio-esque. Like, it has that mm-hmm. kind of quality to it. But I'm surprised this band isn't, like, getting massive, you know?
And I 100% agree. Like, this band takes kind, and I would say they're kind of pop punky, but definitely more on the indie rock side. Like, I think they're really similar to bands kind of like Super Whatever, yeah, almost Water Parks a little bit,
right?
Where they've got kind of a carefree attitude. They're just there to have fun. They're writing bangers, and I absolutely love these guys. Like, this is good. I'm going to put this on and be happy music.
No, like, absolutely. I mean, I don't know. I mean, you look at their promo photos and, like, they're mm-hmm. a little bit of, you know, it seems like they're not taking themselves too seriously. Like, maybe that's mm-hmm. where the Water Parks comparison comes in. Because this is definitely, like, more kind of electro than that, I think. Yeah. Less rock, for sure. But maybe that's part of the aesthetic. And maybe mm-hmm. that's part of why it's not, like, they're not really pushing it down your throat, you know?
Mm-hmm. And I just love the aesthetic of this band, too, because, like, their first EP was called Sunday Brunch, and this EP is called Room Service. I have the record from Sunday Brunch, and it's a picture disc that's literally just an egg. It's great.
Right.
Yeah, one of my favorite records.
That sounds about right.
Well, like,
so
I really just want this band to put out a full length, because this is one of my favorite live bands. Their drummer absolutely goes off. I forget her name, but they're oh, just rad. So fun and so dynamic, and they like to play around live.
Where?
Absolutely incredible.
Where did you see them?
I forget. I've seen them on tour probably two or three times now. I want to say one time was with Water Parks, too.
Oh, okay.
But I've seen them at, like, they opened for somebody, and they played the Crowfoot Main Hall. They've been around. I think they're on Rise Records still. So
oh really yeah. Okay, I didn't know. I didn't know they were like kind of in our scene. I always thought they mm-hmm. were sort of like outside or something, but that's good yeah. to know. No, I really do like this band.
Yeah, I think scene adjacent is the best way to describe them.
There you go. Okay, speaking of scene,
yes,
let's move on to number two.
So number two, probably one of the best vocalists in our scene, hands down, by far and away. We've got Tillian putting out his new album, Factory Reset.
Yeah, and Tillian Pearson, you will know him from being the front man of Dance Gavin Dance.
Yep.
And he's ventured into some solo stuff in the past, and
this is his
he's back.
Third or fourth solo album.
I'm not sure. I know at least third.
Yeah.
At least release. I don't know if there were EPs or like whatever, but I know he's been at it for a little bit. And, you know, he's had some pretty good success, and I think that his stuff is solid.
Yeah, so this is going to be his fourth album. He's got Material Me, Perfect Enemy, The Skeptic, and now, what is it called? Factory Reset. So
yeah, pretty crazy. Pretty crazy. Yeah, he's been
all the guys in Dance Gavin Dance do so much work. I can't imagine.
I know. Busy people, and especially with, you know, seemingly how involved... Like, mm-hmm. This isn't just stuff you kind of just shit out. Like,
no.
You know, and we talked in pretty great depth, I think, at the end of the year last year about Dance Gavin Dance's Afterburner, how mm-hmm. much I enjoyed the record. I think it's the best Dance Gavin Dance album. And so anytime, you know, you have a band do that, and now we have a solo mm-hmm. record from the lead singer, I'm very, very intrigued for what we're going to have on this thing.
I mean, Dance Gavin Dance is in the studio, too, and they're looking to put out the album by the end of the year. Like, this band just never stops. But enough talking about Dance Gavin Dance as a whole. Tillian.
Yeah.
Absolutely phenomenal vocalist.
He is.
Talented. And as a songwriter, too. This is probably one of my favorite kind of quote-unquote pop acts I just love his voice. I love the songwriting that he's able to do and put kind of a fresh spin on pop that you don't hear a lot. It's almost kind of, I get you hear a lot of like pop and R&B mixed together, but the way that he does it, it feels different than anybody else. And I don't know if that's because he's bringing the influence from our scene or what he's bringing into it, but it's just got kind of a magic.
Yeah, I completely agree with that as well. Do you know how he puts this together? Does he have a backing band? Does he, because I assume he doesn't
play. I know
play,
he has a touring band.
I assume he doesn't play all the instruments on the record. I mean, maybe he does. I'm not sure what happens.
I don't know this either.
I assumed you would know, Mike, but regardless, you know, I think people are buying Tillian records to hear Tillian sing. Mm-hmm.
but the instrumentals are still so fun on
they
it
are, oh yeah, oh absolutely. I mean, for sure. And you know, Dance Gavin Dance, definitely there's Dance Gavin Dance influence into Tillian, you know, because, you know, people mm-hmm. even though he's been in the band for a long time now, and actually since Tillian's been in Dance Gavin Dance, the band has grown in popularity immensely. It still is interesting to you know, he was putting out music himself right. before he was in Dance Gavin Dance.
So I've got the deets. I looked it up, and I'm going to assume that his last record is very similar to what he's doing on this one. But Tillian on the record for The Skeptic did the vocals, obviously, played guitar, played bass guitar, and did the keyboards. And then Chris Crummett, who mastered the last Dance Gavin Dance album, he's done some work with Nothing Nowhere, Knuckle Puck's last album, Crown the Empire's acoustic EP, the last Currents album. This dude's all over the place. He did the drums, percussion, and backing vocals, as well as producing, mixing, engineering. So,
okay.
I assume he's doing a similar thing. And hey, more kudos to Tillian for being an incredibly talented instrumentalist as well, because something that doesn't get talked enough about on his solo work, it's incredible too. There's something to be said about fitting the vibe that you're putting forth and writing music to go along with that, you know?
Yeah. Hey, I don't know, man. I don't know, man. I don't think Tillian can do a lot of wrong. I mean, I even like his old mm-hmm. band a lot. I mean,
yeah.
So yeah, the guy is next level. He's that good. So mm-hmm. sweet. Okay. Let's get into the number one album of the week. First, we're going to talk about that over there in the corner of your screen. Rockabilia, .com. That's where you go if you want merchandise from bands. They're sweet to us. They hook us up. Look at this shirt. Huh?
Is that a Rockabilia shirt?
Oh, yeah.
Classic Metallica. Right up your ass.
That's right. I have the Metallica classic metal up your ass with the knife coming up through the toilet. Shirt. Silverstein, we did rip this off at one point. With the Metallica font, Silverstein, you know, with the two angles, the toilet mm-hmm. was there, arm coming up, box of Kleenex in the hand,
mm-hmm.
emo up your ass.
Beautiful.
Yes, we did this. It was a very limited run of t-shirts, but we did make it, and we never got a cease and desist. So yeah,
hey,
man, if you want shirts like this, Mike, is that's a crazy hoodie you're wearing.
This is not from Rockabilia.
It's like a two-tone, like you zip it in the middle. Yeah. One side's like tie-dye and the other side's black. Oh, it's not
a
zipper.
No zipper. Pull over.
Wow.
But, this is from Shibori Threads. They do extremely limited runs of cool deathcore merchandise like this. This is a brand of Sacrifice hoodie.
Oh, cool.
For their latest album. They did an entire split run like this. Brand of Sacrifice, Acacia Strain. I forget. I think Enterprise Earth had one. Shadow Tent had one. It was a really cool run. I wish I would have bought more of the bands, but I only bought this one. It is what it is.
Awesome stuff. Merchandise. Band merchandise. You can't buy it at shows, so buy it mm-hmm. at rockabilia.com and use promo code Shane, S-H-A-N-E. That's my name. And you get 10% off their already low prices.
10 whole percent.
Yeah, it's good. We're going to get to the number one album of the week after this. And we're back.
I had to take a nice deep breath.
I wasn't sure if that was a breath or like a really bad inhale scream.
A little bit of both. Yeah. I always call those pterodactyl screams because that's what they always sound like to me.
They do. I don't know how to do them. I don't know how that even works. I feel like I would just start throwing up everywhere if I tried to legitimately try that. But
oh yeah.
All right, man. Well, hey, we've gotten through four
hype releases.
Pretty hype releases. What will number one be, Mike? I'm ready for it.
You ready for it? So not a typical number one for us this week, and not a typical number one for, I think, anybody in this scene, but we've got an electronic music act. Porter Robinson is releasing his sophomore record. His first in 7 years. I've been waiting for this record since his first record, Worlds, came out.
Yeah.
This dude is absolutely massive in the EDM scene, and I think super underappreciated everywhere else. What he is doing is just writing absolutely incredible bangers all the way through on the first album, all the way through on the singles so far. The way that he writes and records, it's very bright. And I don't know, it's almost like lo-fi mixed with video game music. It's happy. It's ethereal. It kind of puts you into this magical like world where, once you kind of dive into the music and let it take over, everything's a little more saturated. Everything's a little brighter. And it's just a record that I put on, at least the last one, when mm-hmm. I want to feel happy. And
yeah,
it's great.
Well, look, Mike, you don't recommend a lot of music in this genre. No. And for this to be a number one, it just goes to show how much, how anticipated this album has been. And I don't know the reason why it's taken 7 years, for Porter Robinson to put out, I believe it's his second album, isn't it? Or maybe his third. I don't know. It's with that stuff. There's always remixes and alternate versions and stuff, but
he doesn't do much of that either.
There hasn't been a lot of material. Like there hasn't been singles or anything like that. It's been like kind of radio silence. So, This is an artist that has a lot of, Spotify plays and a lot of hype in his scene that I think now people are going to go like, oh shit, okay, he's back. And here it is, the kind of the comeback record.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm really excited for it. I listen to a decent bit of electronic music, I would say. And Porter Robinson is one of the few that I would go out of my way to recommend. I think that he is absolutely incredible with everything that he does. I think it is so well composed. He takes a very methodical approach to everything. Every tone, every sample that he puts in is very, very purposeful.
Yeah.
I don't think when I listen to his music, there's not a lot of overwhelming extra, which happens with a lot of electronic music. This is very calming, but still very detailed and intricate. In a way that I can appreciate and enjoy without kind of being like blown away and wanting to party like a lot of electronic music, but not being put to sleep like a lot of slow, like other electronic music. It's a really nice middle ground that just feels good to be in. Like, if I could write electronic music like this, I would be so happy. I don't know how this man does it. It's just incredible.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think with electronic music, and I'm no expert either, but I mean, it's pretty easy to put together something, generic. You can get some stock samples and you can put together something relatively quickly. But if you want to do it right, if you want to do something, like some of the greats in that world do, it does take time, to layer it and make it perfect. It is something that I think Porter Robinson doesn't take lightly, obviously, with this being his first album in so long. And I'm excited to jam this. I feel like this is the kind of record you can kind of put on in any space. Like I could listen to this in my room laying down with the lights off. I could like jam this driving in my car real fast. Like there's a lot of different ways to consume this music, which is cool. It kind of like emotionally can kind of go with your vibe, I feel.
It's very dynamic. It's one of my go-to kind of like, I want to zone out in the bathtub albums. I love it when I'm reading. I love it when I'm just kind of doing chores, like if I'm mowing the lawn or something like that. It's just kind of great to put on with anything. And it just puts, I know I said it makes me feel happy a lot. It just is music that puts you in a better mood.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It's kind of hard to get that sometimes, especially with us listening to a lot of like heavier music. I know that there's definitely some uplifting bands, but a lot of our bands in our scene focus on depression, anxiety, heartbreak, all of these kind of sour feelings. And it's a really good way to express that. And sometimes you just need something a little happy.
There you go.
That's a good vibe.
I love it, Mike. I love that you're, you know, giving it to us and keeping it real. And we're not just sticking to deathcore, even though there's two deathcore bands in the top five. Shall we recap before we get into the honorable mentions?
I think we should, because we got a lot of honorable mentions as well.
All right. Number five.
Number five, we've got the new EP Silence by Monasteries.
Number four.
Number four, we've got the new EP On Death by Left to Suffer.
Okay. And number three.
Number three, we've got the new EP Room Service by Chapel. Lots of EPs.
I'm excited for this Chapel release. And number two.
Number two, we've got the new album Factory Reset by Tillian.
Factory Reset, number two with Tillian, and the number one album of the week is, I'd like to say it. Oh shit, I don't know the title. I can't. Oh. Okay, Mike, you do it.
Maybe I left that so that you couldn't.
Oh.
Number one this week is Nurture by Porter Robinson.
Nurture. Oh, that's a great title.
I know. I got the box set, and it's like all of the art is like these beautiful, just like landscape photography pictures. It came with like the 6 inches for each single that all have this cool picture.
Oh, you already have it.
I don't have it, but it's going to come.
Oh, it's coming.
It's
okay.
Delayed like all vinyl production.
Right.
But like all the artwork on the mock-ups just looks incredible. He's actually doing a cool thing. He's doing a VR album release show on Saturday with a lot of cool bands too. I forget. There were some scene bands on it too that I'm just going to look this up because we can cut it out later, but the live people need to know.
I love it.
Let me see. But like, there's going to be it's all like virtual reality, and you can watch it without virtual reality as well. Oh my God. Why do you have animations on your website? Oh, his website's virtual reality too.
Oh, Jesus. Wow. Getting crazy. I feel like this guy, just everything he does, he goes full bore into it.
Oh, 100%.
So I can always respect artists that do that. I mean, yesterday we had, Sky Sweetnam of Sumo Psycho talking about how all their music videos tell a story and their whole fan base, like it's like crazy. And I love when artists are able to do that, because believe me, it's not easy.
Yeah. And so I'm just going to talk about the notable ones, but they've got Rez on there, which is really dark electronic music. She's also definitely got a style of her own that's kind of hard to replicate, and I really appreciate her work. And we've got Yvette Young, who is a really, really cool prog guitarist. Like, I can't describe how good she is. She is like, make me want to put down my instrument forever good guitar. So that'll be a lot of fun to watch too.
All right. Nice. All right. Well, let's get into these honorable mentions. I know you have a lot.
Yeah. So I'm going to kind of start with the albums and EPs that I want to talk about first. We got to talk about it. It was announced yesterday, Tuesday. We're recording this on Wednesday. There's a new Prize Fighter Inferno album coming out.
Oh, yeah.
Which I forget which member of Coheed and Cambria this is, but I am sure you guys will love it. Coheed and Cambria. Not my thing. I like a few songs, but I know this album's going to be big for a lot of you. I wouldn't know how to start talking about it. Are you familiar with the band, Shane?
With Coheed?
With Prize Fighter Inferno.
Oh, yes, I've heard of the band. I wouldn't say I've ever listened to the band. And like, to be completely honest, it's just not in my realm. But I know people will be very excited.
Oh yeah. I'm sure it's going to be great. I'm probably going to check it out just cause I've never listened to it. It's like the Postal Service meets Coheed's Cant storylines.
Yes, that's exactly. That's what, Neil Anglin is saying. It sounds like, so we will, I think he's a smart dude and knows what's up. So
yeah,
could be cool.
Oh yeah. We've got the new Wonder EP coming out.
Yes.
Which is absolutely awesome. Another Andy Cizik project. We've talked about this man so much. We are just beating it into your skulls now.
Yeah. I feel like every week we talk about him in, in some way, shape, or form. But Wander is...
it's kind of his pop-punk project?
Yeah, it's soft. There's no screaming. Mm-hmm. Like, people are starting to know Andy Cizik as like a you know, a metal, aggressive vocalist, but this is his roots.
He's just a scene vocalist.
This is his roots, though.
Yeah. It's absolutely awesome stuff. There's a bunch of... I think there's two or three new singles and a bunch of acoustic renditions of older songs from the band. So that's why it's not in the top five. But I think it's going to be a really fun little EP for everybody to go check out. I love the album artwork on it. It's got a great color palette.
Nice.
Very important.
Nice. Okay, Wander. Yes.
Next. Well, yeah, next, not last. We've got the new Bottom After Midnight EP. This one, I kind of wanted to fit it in, but is what it is. I want to talk about Monasteries a little more. Children of Bodom, all of the members except for the one who didn't leave Children of Bodom, including Alexi Laiho, who recently passed away. This is the last music he's going to produce as vocalist, guitarist, obviously. It's going to be kind of an emotional listen.
Absolutely. I've
already heard one of the three songs, and it's going to sound like Bottom. I'm very happy for this. Can't wait to listen to it. We've got this fun new band that I found called Red Hook. I don't know exactly where they're from, but they're kind of like pop-punk alternative. They're putting out an EP. That should be a lot of fun. I think it's called Bad Decisions.
Okay.
Let me just check real quick. Yeah, it's called Bad Decisions. They got about like 120,000 monthly listeners on Spotify.
Cool.
It looks like they're from Australia because they've got an Australian show on their Spotify.
Oh, so they're already back. They're already back probably touring and doing everything, man.
Well, yeah, but
damn it, Australians. You already have the best country and now you're doing stuff again?
I know. It says here fans also like Sumo Psycho, so you just had them on the show yesterday.
Yeah.
So similar vibe to that.
All right, cool.
And the last EP, and I haven't looked too much into this. I heard that there's supposed to be an Outline and Color EP. I haven't seen much on that. Kind of a post-hardcore band that's a lot of fun. Let me just look real quick. I'll confirm it. I know they've had a couple singles out, so I kind of believe it, but I haven't seen anything official, really. Who knows?
Okay.
Who knows?
Okay.
This is supposed to be part two, I think. They had Imposter Syndrome part one last year, and I think this is supposed to be part two. I don't know. But if it comes out, it comes out. Cool. If not, not. And then there's a new album from Dinosaur Jr.
Oh, yeah. Band. Yeah. Oh, sure, yeah. Classic. I mean, Legends. You know, whatever you want to call them, alternative. I mean, it's hard. Like, you know, they're just so influential on so many, you know, bands that you know, indie rock and everything else. I'm interested to check that out. It's is it a brand new record? When was the last time they put one out?
I'm not sure. I think it's been a couple of years at least.
Yeah.
I had to put it in all the way to junior because Dinosaur Pileup comes up in my search.
Oh, yeah? Mine came up right away. That's the algorithms.
2016 looks like, was the last one?
Yeah, it looks like 2016, 2012. So they have been putting records out, you know, pretty consistently.
Been around since 85.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they're definitely known, you know, mostly for the stuff in the, like, I'd say early 90s. You know, Jay Masis being, like, you know, a very influential guitar player as well.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's cool. That's definitely one for people to check out, or go back and listen to some of the classic Dinosaur Jr. stuff as well.
100%.
You know, some of your favorite bands wouldn't exist without them.
Yeah, I can see that. And then to kind of get into the singles, I've heard A Little Birdie, and I can't remember if I've seen anything officially posted, but I've heard A Little Birdie saying that there's going to be a new Beartooth single on Friday.
Oh, yeah? I actually have not. That birdie missed my house. Mm. It just shit on my head and left.
Damn.
No, I'm excited. I don't even know which is the next song they're planning on releasing.
I don't remember either. I didn't make a note of the song. So.
I mean, I have talked about how I've heard this record and it bangs. So they can't go wrong. This
jury's
I'm
still
excited.
Out for me, but we'll see.
I know. You're hard to please, Mike.
I am.
I don't know, man. Maybe you just need to sit down with the record to get it.
But it's very possible.
This birdie is going to deliver you some banging jam, I believe.
We shall see. Coming in with something that I guaranteed know is going to be an absolute banger. Eminence is putting out a new single.
Mm-hmm.
This is great band from Finland. At least I want to say it's Finland. It's one of the European countries. the lead singer is also a violinist. It's absolutely incredible. Super well-written music.
That's funny.
I love these guys so much.
I'll tell you, when Silverstein first started, we put violin on a couple tracks, mm-hmm. on our first demo.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, well, we got a dude, or actually a girl, to play it, you know, on that. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, well, we're not going to we don't want another person in the band. You know, it's not in every song. So I'm like, you know what? How hard can it be? So I went out, I bought a violin. You know how fucking hard it is? Real
Very
fucking hard.
Hard.
I was like, oh, I play guitar. Like, you know, it can't be that
it's
different.
It's just strings.
Right? Like, yeah, you just put your fingers and doing a thing, and it's, it was fucking hard. And I gave up. I gave up so fast.
Yeah, this dude plays the violin live at all their shows too. Absolutely incredible band.
Sick.
Super talented.
Sick.
Amazing songwriting. Came out yesterday. We got a new single from Hot Mulligan, one of my favorite Michigan pop punk bands.
Yeah. I love their last record.
So good. The new single is awesome. It's from an EP coming out at the end of May.
Sweet.
I'm really excited for this. These guys are great. And I'm not going to say a super underrated pop punk band because I think they're kind of blowing up with the last release. But if you haven't listened to Hot Mulligan yet, you really should be, because they're doing some great things.
Yep. I'm in on them too, Mike.
Hell yeah. Coming with something that all of the old school scene kids are probably going to love. We get the first single from Zombie 2 by the Devil Wears Prada on Friday.
Yeah, man. This is exciting. Actually, we had Jeremy on the stream with Silverstein two weeks ago, and he talked about it a little bit, and just it's kind of crazy how they put out this EP.
Yeah,
it was kind of like, okay, here's like a little transitional thing, and it ended up being their most loved release was, you know, the original Zombie EP from about 10 years ago, and here it is, and they're giving their fans what they want.
It's a high bar, though. Like, this is something that is to be approached so delicately, I think, because fans are it's been 10 years, 11 years. So fans are expecting something clouded with nostalgia. Is it going to meet the expectations? I think it will, because I think Devil Wears Prada has only gotten better and better as they've aged. And I think they're at the top of their game right now. The Act is an absolutely incredible album. And I'm super excited with this. And I think they're going to meet, if not exceed, with this record.
Yeah, they've had an interesting trajectory a little bit with their band members, and some of the songwriters have left the band, you know, and they've acquired new songwriters, which is always interesting when, you know, they obviously bring their own influences, but then they also are on the trajectory that the band's in. So it'll be interesting adding those guys into the band, and they're great songwriters, both Kyle and John, but them trying to kind of mimic a time when they weren't in the band. I think it could be a cool recipe. You know, the same way that when J.J. Abrams, you know, takes over Star Wars or Star Trek, and it's like he's a fan and now he's writing it and it's awesome, you know, because he's so talented.
I wouldn't go that far with Star Wars, but
I think it's pretty. I think the reboot, the newest Star Wars reboot, has been pretty good.
It was as somebody who has a full Star Wars chess piece, it's better than most movies out there. But it's not good for Star Wars.
Well, then, what do you think of Episode 1, 2, and 3 then?
Those are coded with nostalgia because I was a child.
Oh, okay. Did you see those before you saw the original?
No.
Okay. My
dad was a good father. And when I was, I think, 5 years old, before we went to go see Episode 1 in theaters, because I've been to every Star Wars movie premiere since I've been born. He showed me the original trilogy. I was hooked. I love the entire vibe. I love Jar Jar because I was a little kid, right? I love Star Wars. I love everything about it. I love the sequels for what they are. They're still fun space adventure with tinges of comedy. Am I going to put them on over episode 5 or episode 3 or Rogue One or something like that? No.
Right. But
did I enjoy them in the theaters? Yeah.
I'm not sure how old I was when episode 1 came out. I was probably about 18. Mm-hmm. And I remember going to
definitely not the age for Jar Jar.
Oh yeah. I went to the theater. So much hype, man. Like,
oh yeah.
So much hype. I went with my friend Bri, and like the movie started, you know, we watched the movie. Mm-hmm. And like, I don't know, about 3/4 of the way through the movie, I just turned to him and I go, "What the fuck are we watching?" And he goes, "Great soundtrack."
Yeah.
And he wasn't wrong.
I mean,
it is still one of the best soundtracks maybe of any movie ever. It's really good.
I think I love episode 1 more than I love episode 2. Just because like episode 2, like it sets up the start of the Clone Wars and everything, and that's great. Like episode 1 really sets up like, and what Dave Filoni, the guy who is currently kind of, he's not in charge, but he's in charge of Star Wars. He's writing all the Clone Wars, he's writing the Mandalorian, he's doing all that stuff. He's talked about episode 1, and I kind of really vibe with this, and it's how he, like, Anakin loses Qui-Gon Jinn, who is supposed to be like a father figure, and that's how he goes on this like downward spiral, because Obi-Wan's not like a father figure, he's more of a brother, right? And they kind of portray that through the entire prequels. So without this like strong parental figure, Anakin mm-hmm. kind of goes off the rails and stuff like that. That's why it's the song during that fight scene with Darth Maul is called Duel of the Fates. Because it's kind of this dichotomy between like the fate of Anakin, will he go to the light or the dark? And it sets up everything.
Wow.
Which is super cool. I'm a huge Star Wars nerd. Those are all Star Wars books.
I don't know if we've actually even talked about Star Wars, but I just have to bring up J.J. Abrams for like 1 second, and here we go. The middle of the honorable mentions. But I will say this before we're talking prequels. I didn't mm-hmm. think episode 3 was too bad. I thought it was a decent way to end mm-hmm. that whole, you know, kind of shit show. I thought it was okay.
Yeah. The lightsaber fights in 3 are primo too.
Yeah. Yeah. I also saw it in Australia. Mm-hmm. I had a great day. And I'm a firm believer that like the mood that you're in when you see a movie can really change, you know, just your opinion of it. Like, I remember I saw Austin Powers 3 in theaters, and I've never laughed harder in my life. Is it the funniest movie ever? I mean, no. It's pretty funny, but
it's
like,
good,
but I was just in that mood, and that, you know, that mm-hmm. that really can make a big deal, a big 100%. Difference. I mean, okay, all right, Devil
Back
Wears Prada
to the honorable mentions. Devil Wears Prada, new song. First off, Zombie. I'm pretty sure this is going to be the only single. I hope it's the only single because I kind of want to go into this record a little blind. Can't wait.
Okay.
Next single that we want to talk about, Wizard Throne, one word, all capitals. This band's awesome. It is a power metal supergroup from Nuclear Blast. The bands that are on it are Gloryhammer, Necrogoblicon, Trolldoggin, Aether Realm, and then Christopher Bose from Ailstorm is in it.
Nice.
These guys are pretending to be wizards. It's freaking great.
Nice. What was the name of this?
Wizard Throne.
Amazing.
All the artwork is cool. It's very similar. I'm not going to say it's similar to Ailstorm. It's definitely heavier than Ailstorm, but like the vibes I get are very similar. Chris is playing the keyboards. It sounds great. It's fun.
Oh, I'm so excited. I just, you know, Mike and I, everyone listening to this, it's no secret, Mike and I are huge Ailstorm fans. Like,
massive.
I cannot wait, Mike, for the day the border opens
mm-hmm.
and Ailstorm is playing at, like, what, St. Andrews? Maybe a little bit bigger? Maybe
that.
Like, okay, all right. And I can just head over there and we can have, like, ridiculous sized beers and just, like, be in the pit singing along while smashing our cans of beers into each other, pretending we're pirates.
Like,
I cannot wait for this moment, Mike.
It's going to be beautiful.
Yes. And in the meantime, we have Wizard Throne.
Yes. And I'm super excited. They announced an album for 2 months away. It's going to be a good time.
Nice. Sweet.
Can't wait for it.
Sweet.
We've got 3 more singles, all kind of small bands. We've got a new single from this awesome deathcore band called Filth coming out of Virginia. These guys are brutally heavy. I listen to the song. It's earth-shattering. It's got a cool intro. It feels wet and nasty when you listen to it. And that's kind of what you want from some deathcore, and this fits the bill. We've got math, metalcore, post-hardcore, hardcore, kind of amalgamation of everything. Super cool group, Kawanashi, however you like to say that.
Mm-hmm.
These guys are absolutely incredible. They put out a new single and announced their new album. I'm pretty sure this was 2 days ago, and they've already sold out of the vinyl record pre-orders. And are, I don't know if they're going to do a second run. Who knows? But these guys are insane. They're blowing up. They're a hugely fun band. I love seeing these guys live every chance I get. They have so much energy, and it's just incredible. And then last single that I want to talk about is Wargasm. They're a really cool punk electro band from the UK. They incorporate a lot of kind of metal, like industrial influences with punk and electronic, and they write really heavy, really angry bangers that I love to throw on when I'm in the gym.
Nice.
If you haven't heard of them, go listen to Spit and tell me you didn't headbang.
Okay.
I don't believe you.
And someone brought up in the chat, and it was brought up earlier by Neil Anglin, but mm-hmm. I want to bring this up to you, Mike. Are you familiar with this Jeff Rosenstock record, No Dreams, that came out last year?
I am a little bit.
So
it wouldn't say super familiar.
You probably saw it on a lot of end of year lists.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of like the cool punk record of the year, and it was. I mean, the Cheeto Head says it was his favorite album of 2020. I think it's a great record, and I wasn't mm-hmm. aware of the ska version that came out, where we have replacement song titles all in a ska
Beautiful.
Theme. For example, the first track on No Dream is No Time. The first track on Ska Dream is No Time to Skank.
Beautiful.
Track two is called Nikes. And on 2021, it's called, on the 2021 release of Ska Dream, it's called Airwalks.
Beautiful.
So, No Dream, Ska Dream. We've got, instead of the beauty of breathing, we have the Rudy of breathing.
Fucking great.
So there you go. A message to you, Rudy.
You love to see it.
So yeah, so that is something. And yes, for all of our punk rockers out there who maybe dabble in the ska punk genre, check out that mm-hmm. release as well.
Hell yeah. But that's all the honorable mentions I've got. It's going to be another fun week. I think there's a lot of releases that aren't people's kind of typical style, with Tillian putting out pop, Porter Robinson with some electronic, Chapel with their kind of industrial synthwavy thing going on. I think it's going to be a good week for experimentation for a lot of people if they like to check out everything that we talk about on here.
Absolutely, man. Well, Mike, we did it. Thank
Killing
you for
it.
All of these really cool, really unique releases. And next week, we'll talk about them again right here. Same bat time, same bat channel.
Boom.
Boom. We did it.